Greetings, I'm Jimmy Chen, and this is a time of uncertainty for us all. Will our loved ones stay safe? Will we keep healthy? Will society recover from gross tragedy and incompetence? Maybe you are learning about boundaries, or that you actually needed to rely more on others. Or you've learned that your employer must make changes to your profession. Like me. My job, I've had for 3 years, 11 months, was put aside with a few hundred others this week. Those that remain suffer pay cuts or furloughs for many, many months, some not recovering until late September. But for those of us that are going through these tough times, especially in our day-to-day work, we're not alone. You and I are not alone. Many of you, listeners, I know have lost the full potential of their work, in part or in whole. You may be unsure what to do next, and all this is an additional burden of stress while the world stresses out. Many more of us may face this situation in the future too, so we need to address and begin to cope now. Maybe we can help them in the future. I have many feelings about this, but those can be saved for later. We do need to deal with moving forward in the face of uncertainty, and I have, over years, studied this and come up with tips from very popular and successful individuals. So today, first, let's learn to relax. This is useful anytime, learning to relax, because it's hard to do anything if tense. As Princess Leia once said, "The more you tighten your grip, Tarkin, the more star systems will slip through your fingers." Before we take any other steps, we first need to take the effort to unwind and re-energize. Having analyzed many professionals, public speakers, and peers, 11 items keep coming to mind. There's a pattern over and over again that many, many, many individuals follow. Sure, some of these points do overlap, but if you should be listening to folks like Benjamin Franklin, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Tim Ferriss, Paula Pant, Gary Vaynerchuk, Jordan Peterson, or Tony Robbins, just to name a few, high-performing people who've found peace with what they do, these tips are for you. They may help you as they've helped me over the last year. Tip number one for relaxation is to sleep. We have more time to do that now, especially if you've just lost your work or been furloughed or there's additional changes in your life. I know this global epidemic has affected all of us, some more than others. So you're probably not ready for bed just yet, listening to this podcast. So that brings us to point number two. Eat more. When's the last time you had a snack? Consider proteins and fats, something like eggs with butter or coconut oil in a low-caffeine beverage. Beef, if you're so inclined, will boost your testosterone, making you more confident and more full with energy. When it comes to your food, stimulate, satiate, and don't depress yourself with the things like carbohydrates in your food or alcohol in your drink. Heavy dairy also slows you down, may cause you to break out as well, adding another stress. While spicy foods do have a tendency to make you feel good after the initial burn, they also have a tendency to upset your stomach and can lead to ulcers. And we don't want that when we're also not supposed to be leaving to see our doctor. The third thing I've found in my studies that folks use to relax are lists. Lots of thoughts are going through our heads right now. So capture them, write them down bullet by bullet in a to-do or a for-later list or a journal, which, hey, if you're in isolation, it's the perfect time to start one. No more than 3 to 4 words each. Try to distill the thought down to its essence, be it a reminder, be it a creative idea. You can sort this out later, but itself, this journaling, can be a meditative activity, which leads us to the fourth point, meditation. The best time is right now to learn to meditate. All you need is a few minutes, not more than about 10 a day to gain the benefits. So sit, breathe, visualize blues and purples, calm colors. Walk through in your mind each muscle, releasing its tightness as you go. And you can do a lot of that, all of this thinking and self-awareness, during point number 5, long walks. Just as it sounds, take a long walk. Bicycles work too. This is a stroll of 30 to 60 minutes. It's not a race, and there's nowhere to go. And it can be best done if also combined with the next point, number 6, visit nature. Go out and see a horizon not made up of a skyscraper. Get out of the house, but of course, safely, stay away from other people. Go see some sunshine. Touch grass if you can. And be sure to wear a mask. Point number 7 is also exercise, but much more intense. Do exercise that can be done inside, but be mindful of your neighbors. Push-ups, pull-ups, sparring, jumping, squats. Of course, this can be taken outside in hikes or sprinted intervals too, but now is the time to get the heart going. Yes, this list is supposed to be about steps to relax, and it will be relaxing when you're done. Think of that warm shower at the end, the one that will take out the knots in your shoulders and your neck and your arms and your legs, while your head is clear and the blood is flowing freely. And, at least for me, there's nothing more relaxing than knowing I can outrun at least the slowest person in the pack. Point number 8 is to cut down your schedule. Have fewer obligatory tasks on the to-do list. Sure, if things would be worse if you didn't do them, like not bathing for a few days, not brushing your teeth, or not spending time with any child charges of yours, you need to do those activities. Part of relaxing is not adding additional stressors to your life. I myself, my brain is highly analytical, and it's go, go, go right now for the things that, I ought to do. I should start on my unemployment search. I should clean my home. I should go exercise again. You get the idea. So chill. Do what is necessary, and most things aren't necessary. At least that's what I've found. Follow up with a few things that would make your world better, and a few things you enjoy for the sake of consuming them. Like point number 9, consume intense media. Movies, music, books, and games. Go back to the things that brought you to special places. Avoid emotional downers during the day, unless you find yourself somehow inspired to do more, but that's totally on you. Everyone else, find your inspiration and motivation through some of these enjoyable tools that have served you well in the past. Point number 10 is to figure out your minimally viable life. Recognize what you need, what you want, and the minimum in between that you can be happy with. I can't stress enough the dichotomy here. Don't settle, which is a life motto of mine, but also don't be greedy. Personal experience says that the greedy get punished. So find that happy minimum between subsistence and hedonism. But speaking of minimum, consider point number 11, final point. The days are greater than the years. I think I took this straight from Gary Vee, but you do need the discipline to be patient. Remember that today matters more than next year. Your entire future doesn't matter as much as today's care. Do what you need today, and make an improvement if you can, and your years ahead will be just fine, regardless of the reality you recognize now. And that's how to begin this process of coming to cope with uncertainty. But how do you decide what to do today? How do you begin applying yourself after you've learned to relax? Some of these points have set you up for the second half on how to decide what to do now. Certainly, things that would make other things worse if not done in some adequate frequency should be done first. I can't stress this enough. Things like vacuuming every day is not helpful. Every week or two, much better. Skipping those necessities, which may be different for every person, we'll focus on the points I always go to when the needed chores are done. So, let's get an idea first of you and what's available, and then we can talk about making those decisions and filtering through them. Point number one in figuring out what to do is that doing is a million times better than planning. You learn as you go. If you get down to what to do after just a few of these questions, a few of these tips and points, don't wait. Pause the podcast, share it on your social media, and go get started on what you've found out that you needed to do. Point number two, if you're still here, is to ask yourself, what do you enjoy more? Reflect on yourself. See if you can find an answer about what you've enjoyed in the past and what brings you joy just thinking about it. Find patterns. Apply those past activities and choices to what to do next. Point number three is that you ask yourself, what is required of me to feel satisfied? Yes, hedonism can feel good, but what is enough? We covered this in a relaxation exercise before, where you need to find the minimally viable fulfillment in your life. Make sure that that is met. Anything more is gravy. Tip number four is to ask, will I be better for having done these things I'm considering? That's pretty straightforward, pretty simple. Is this thing improving your existence in the world? Yes, no. If it's the former, a yes, give it some thought. Include it. If it's a no, well, we'll handle more of those no's a little later on. Tip number five is, am I living my best life? And what does that look like? Are you living it now? And how can you get there? Tip number six is, what do people want more? What do other humans value or require that isn't there so far? Don't weigh this too highly initially. It merely serves as a great tiebreaker or guide, such as getting a job, providing a product, or similar, if you still can't decide later on. Tip number seven, the last one about getting to know yourself, is ask, what would I need and what would I do if I was to die in 3 months? How about 6 months? This is my personal goal setter. It's a great and terrible thing to imagine having a terminal diagnosis, to know that the end was coming and that there was no help for it. Should we be so blessed to know that our end was foreseeable? With this tip, go handle what matters now with who matters in your life. Don't put it off, because true finality, it just won't wait. So that's the section of tips that talk about yourself. Now, let's talk about the tasks that you've come up with those questions. Starting with tip number eight. What would this all look like if it was easy? This is a favorite saying from Timothy Ferris, And out of all the possibility, this is a quite quoted phrase from Timothy Ferris, that out of all of the possibility, what is the easiest outcome? And that, whatever that is the way to go. This is possibly my favorite off of the list, as things can grow in scope later, and that's okay. This question merely gets you started on the path. Tip number 9 feeds from tip number 8. Make it simpler. Create a list, 10 things max, and kudos of getting it down to 3 or 4. The things, the topics, the next steps that really matter. If you can get it down to 1, you know what you want to do. Tip number 10, the 90-10 principle. Are you familiar with the 80-20 principle? I like to do one better. To get things down to their bare bones, consider the 10% of things that give 90% of the impact, and those will be your focus. Tip number 11 is that it's going to be a no if you don't feel like giving it a hell yes. The whole meaning of this tip is to remove the meh and mediocre from your life. Apply it to these following questions and the questions before, including tip number 12, where it's a no if there is no next step or long-term outlook with what you're considering. Will having done whatever you're considering matter in 3 months, 9, a year, 3 years? Keep your future in view as the now gets handled. I did say before that today matters more than tomorrow. However, you have to prepare as if you're going to be alive tomorrow. Dead ends lead nowhere, and if you're going to wake up, you don't want to wake up with nothing. Tip number 13 is to say no to things that you feel you ought to do because of obligation or are guilted for it, and it has no personal merit. You need to be a better person first, and that in itself will improve those around you, even just by the excellence of your example. So, now you have a list of what you know, what you do. You've answered some questions about the things you have. But let's say you still have a pretty large selection of things that you need to figure out the importance of. So, we're going to filter out what's left. Tip number 14. What is the worst possible failure of doing the things you're considering? This is fear setting, and you need to be real with this. Real. Refer back to the minimal life and lifestyle choices you discovered you need to exist. For me, there are 3 unrecoverable failures that if a choice of mine ever fails one of these, I'm not doing that choice. You might also consider these as well, and you may have more. But my 3 include crippling my physical body, skewing my mind irreversibly, and risking the ruin of my reputation. Those 3 things you cannot really recover from and close a lot of doors into the future. Tip number 15. What would be done if you were not afraid to do it? For me, cutting my hair 3 years ago was the thing I needed to do because I was afraid to. I had consultants, I did Photoshop, I asked friends and family, and yet, I was still afraid. Literally, objectively, cutting my hair was one of the best decisions of my life. Top 3, likely top 5 for sure. So ask yourself, what's your hair in your life that you're afraid to cut? Tip number 16, will worrying about it help the outcome? Virtually always, the answer to this question will be a no. So get started, do less planning. We covered all this, you know the drill. Tip number 17. What do you fear that objectively lacks risk? Do that. As we discussed before, there are only really 3 truly risky things that I've been able to identify, that of mind, body, and reputation. If it's not falling into one of those categories, prove it to yourself that the fear is unfounded, that you will survive, that you will recover, that you will overcome. Number 18, does what you're considering to do tell or demonstrate a white truth. You're familiar with the concept of a white lie, right? That's a fib, a falsehood that does benefit more than the harm of telling an untruth. The same goes for truths. Truth can sometimes cause more harm than it's worth to give the truth. So pick something that does not cause harm and benefits the world that you've found a nugget of truth in existence. Truth with a capital T. Final point, number 19, is how close is this thing to your sought-for legacy on what you want to leave to the world? Other advice gives this approximately, that you need to write your eulogy and live your life towards the ends described. Think about the world after your death. Think about those that you leave behind, friends, family. How have you made that future better for them in the world? And do the things that you're considering to do feed into that? So those are my thoughts. You've a lot of stress in your life, a lot of decisions to make. That is not an argument. That is objective truth. We're in tough times. These tips that I've come up with from years of study will help you, trust me. Get started on them, start answering these questions for yourself, and make progress. As a recap, begin to feel relaxed, begin to know yourself, begin to find what you ought to do, find what you must do. Me, myself, I'm already feeling better already. Just talking about these and being reminded of the steps that put things in order and have put things in order countless times for myself since uncovering these tactics to handle the uncertainty in life. And that's it. Share this. Others certainly could use it. Let me know what tip resonates the most with you. And also, let me know what tips work for handling stress in your life. Until next time. Cheers.